You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
All right. Awesome. Well, let me pray and let's hop into Word of the Month. All right. Well, Father, I thank you for this month. I thank you for October, and I thank you for the sweet things that you are speaking to us this month. I thank you that you are so mindful of us. Thank you that your thoughts towards us are as numerous as the sand. That's a lot of thoughts that you have towards us, Papa. And I thank you that we have been given the ability to hear those thoughts. I thank you that you dwell inside of us and we have the mind of Christ. And so we can tune in. We can tune in to the things that you are thinking about us. And I thank you that there has never been better thoughts that have been thought about us. And I thank you that you want us to hear them. And so today, as we hop into the Word of the Month, I pray that you would just fill my heart and my mind with your presence, that Holy Spirit, I would just be filled with your goodness, and that every word that would come out of my mouth today, Father, would be just like sweet honey. Father, it would nourish, it would encourage, it would comfort. I thank you, Father, that this is a beautiful invitation into greater intimacy with you. And I just thank you, Father, that that is your heart for us. And so I just yield. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Speak through me today and bless every single person that's watching, that's going to be listening. And Father, I just pray that there would be greater levels of just breakthrough in people's lives, greater levels of understanding and wisdom as they hear from you. And I thank you that you are more than willing to give it. So I just bless our time together and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. So awesome, you guys. I can't believe it's October. It is crazy that we are full blown into fall at this point and that 2024 is almost over. We have three more months, you guys. That's the last quarter of the year. And I'm pretty excited about the things that I was hearing Papa speak this morning. I felt like they were really sweet, what I was hearing for this month. And it's kind of also, I think, come out of a lot of conversations that I've been having with my students and with people over the last month that are just going through different things. And as I've been praying for people and praying for situations, this is what I just really felt like was on the Lord's heart for October. Now, let's revisit, because at the beginning of the year, you know, what God spoke to us was said, he started out with this phrase, don't quit, be unstoppable. And he said, you know, learn to manipulate and dominate the matrix. And a lot of the words that I've had this year have been around, you know, learning to manipulate and dominate the matrix. We've talked a lot about that. And we've also thought, you know, talked about how it's kind of interesting that the Father started the word of the year with don't stop. Don't quit, rather be unstoppable. And I, you know, that wasn't lost on me as I've navigated this year myself and with others. And I just noticed that, you know, there's, if he's saying don't quit, be unstoppable, then it probably indicates that there's going to be a time to grow weary. There's going to be a time when we're going to feel like quitting. We're going to feel like stopping. And, you know, I can say that in my own life, I've had to, you know, walk through some things this year where I very much felt like that I came to the end of myself and felt like quitting. And so to this month, I really felt like I wanted to share for myself, I think the reason that I don't quit and the reason that I, you know, and for the best of my ability, embody the trait of being unstoppable is because of one thing. And that one thing is what I really feel like the Father is breathing on for the month of October. And that one thing truly is intimacy with God. And the word for October is really an invitation. And it's just a little invitation from God that says, let's be friends. And, you know, you might even say, let's be best friends. And I remember Jesus talking to me about this earlier this year when he said, you know, Shalise, you're my BFF. And I thought about that for a moment. And as I talked with Jesus about it, it was kind of like, you know, Shalise, you have traits and qualities in your friends and the people that you call friends that I want you to really begin to recognize that I have all of those qualities and more. In fact, I am the best friend that you will ever, ever have. And this month, I feel like that friendship with God is where God has us camping. And I know it's, you know, maybe it's something that you've thought about before. I know I obviously have thought about it. You know, I've heard about Abraham was a friend of God and other scriptures that talk about friendship with God. But I just really felt like it's an opportunity for us this month to really hone in on that, because I've said this many, many times in my own life. I've said, you know, if I can hear the voice of God and I can understand his perspective on things, then I probably can just walk through just about anything. And I have found that to be very true in my life. And I can also say that for, you know, the majority of my life, because I grew up in with a religious background and in a traditional denominational church, I mean, friendship with God was not something that I really ever heard sermons about. It wasn't something that anybody ever really talked to me about. In fact, I felt like God was kind of scary. You know, I was afraid. I was afraid of hell. I was afraid of sin. I felt guilty. I felt condemned. And so I felt like God was probably more focused on my sin than what, you know, wanting to be my friend. But thankfully, in my 30s, I began to encounter Jesus for myself. And the Jesus that I met through those encounters was nothing like the Jesus that I had imagined. It was nothing like the Jesus that I don't know, even when I read scripture, even though I just had a lens that I read scripture through, that when I read it, I would feel condemned. But Jesus revealed himself to me as the most beautiful human being that has ever existed. I mean, when I say human being, like an actual human being. And granted, God, fully God, the epitome of what it means to be a human being, a perfect, sinless, but glorious, kind, gentle, beautiful human being. And I love reading the Gospels from a lens of friendship with God. You know, Jesus did not pick holy, righteous, you know, Pharisees to be his disciples. He picked everyday normal people like us. And I love that about Jesus. I love the fact that he stood on the side of the oppressed, that he was a friend of, you know, sinners and normal people. And friendship with God has been first and foremost the thing that has radically changed my life more than anything. It is through intimacy and friendship. And over the years, I have hungered for that. And so what I'm hoping today is that this hunger is imparted to you, and that there's a greater hunger that's stirred up in you to simply be friends with God. I think being friends with God is what makes life work. It is the foundation of trust. It is the foundation of faith. Because you can't trust someone that you don't know, really. You can't, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding. Well, that takes relationship. It takes friendship. It takes a time being with someone to know who they really are and to get to know their character. And of course, we can read about God in the Bible. I mean, heck, we can read about all kinds of famous people, you know, but that doesn't mean that we know them. It doesn't mean that we have an intimate relationship with them. And God designed it so that the intimacy that we have with him would be the most intimate of relationships that we would ever experience, because there's no one except God that knows everything about us, that knows our thoughts, that knows our fears, that knows our emotions, that feels things from the inside out, because we're one with him. And he experiences our life, not just with us. Yes, God is with us, but God is in us. And God has taken on the greatest level of intimacy that there could ever be. I mean, we are truly the home of God. God calls us his home. And so there's a scripture that I wanted to share with you this morning from the Mirror Translation, because it's just beautiful. And it's Jesus talking in John chapter 15. And I'm going to read it out of the Mirror Translation. And it says this. It says, "I do not communicate with you on a slave-boss basis. Slaves have no clue what their master is about to do. I talk to you as my friends, telling you everything that I have heard in my conversation and intimate association with my Father. This I explain to you in the clearest possible terms." It says this in 16. It says, "I did not begin in you. You began in me. I am not your idea. You are mine. And I have strategically positioned you in order that you may abound in much fruit bearing wherever life leads you, fruit that would ceaselessly continue this same incarnate life of union with me. From this place, anything you desire has already been granted you by the Father." I'm going to read this again. "I did not begin in you. You began in me." In other words, you were my idea. "I'm not your idea. You are mine. And I have strategically positioned you in order that you may abound in much fruit bearing wherever life leads you, fruit that would ceaselessly continue this same incarnate life of union with me. That's just beautiful. It says, from within this place, anything you desire has already been granted you by the Father. So Jesus is saying a whole lot in these two scriptures. And, you know, I in another version of this, in John 15:15, it's just, you know, like the standard version. It says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that just incredible that Jesus called his disciples friends, and he calls us friends, and he says he's not keeping secrets, that everything that he's learned from the Father, he's making it known to us. So this reminded me of another scripture that I wanted. This is one of my favorites, from Matthew 11. If you've listened to me very much at all, you've heard me read this scripture, but I come back to this scripture a lot as it relates to, us living our purpose. So let me get a drink of my water here really quick. Here's what it says. It says, the Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. So I wanted to read this because when it says that Jesus will explain everything that the Father has shown him, everything that he has learned from the Father, well, we need to know that Jesus and the Father have this unique, beautiful, intimate relationship. And he says this, he says, no one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. What an incredible passage of scripture. That's in the Message Translation. That's Matthew 11:27. And I have meditated on that scripture so many times because I truly believe that the same level of intimacy that Jesus enjoyed with the Father is the exact same intimacy that we can enjoy with the Father, that we can enjoy with Jesus, that we can enjoy with Holy Spirit. And it is this very intimacy that reveals our purpose to us, enables us to walk through whatever it is that life throws our way, and to be able to make it to the end, to fulfill our destiny. And each of us has a unique Father-Son, you know, insert your name, Shalice, relationship with God. And each of us has a unique operation that we are here on the planet to fulfill. And that uniqueness of our relationship with God and the uniqueness in the way that God created us to be, we are a unique expression of the glory of God. And that uniqueness is designed to be an expression of intimacy with God. And when we can hear God, it says here, Jesus is willing to go over it line by line, like details. God is ready to give us details about our life, about what we face, about him, about the kingdom. Like there are details available to us. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those, for his lovers, for us. But it says that the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us. And so friendship with the Holy Spirit, the ability to just take the time to sit and listen and have conversations with God, is one of the most priceless, valuable, you can't even put a value on the ability to have conversations with God as a friend talks to a friend. You know, I remember for many, many years just being enthralled with Exodus 33 and the conversations that Moses would have with God. Okay, this was the Old Testament. And, you know, Moses was the one that said, show me your glory. And it was just phenomenal. I just remember saying, I want to have face-to-face conversations with you, God. I want to have, you know, your presence fill my room and fill my, you know, my tent the way that you did with Moses. And I had this hunger and this hunger that was developing in me to know God, which is actually the definition of eternal life. In John 17, verse 3, 4, around that range, Jesus said that this is eternal life, that we would know him, know the Father and the one true God, Jesus Christ. And so eternal life is something that we can experience now. And eternal life is the knowledge of the glory of God. It is the intimacy that we can have with God. And it is unlike any human intimacy that we would ever experience. Because even those closest to us, our spouse, our closest friends, our family, do not have the ability to understand and know us the way that God does, because there's no one else that knows us from the inside out, that knows our thoughts before we think them, that knows our words before we speak them. And, you know, I think for many years, I was almost afraid of that kind of intimacy with God because I had such a crappy image of God. And, you know, learning the character of God through the life of Jesus, that if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, that Jesus healed all that came to him, that, you know, he protected the woman who was caught in adultery. Like he went and had dinner with people that no one would have dinner with. Like he touched the lepers, like rejects, you know, people that no one in society had anything to do with. And it's my favorite thing. One of my very, very favorite things about Jesus is that we don't have to pretend. We don't have to hide. You can't hide anyway. Where are we going to go and hide? But that he's not afraid. He's not afraid of our weakness. He's not afraid of behaviors. He's not afraid of you know, the things that have caused us, you know, sin. Let's just call it what it is. The things that we would think would cause him not to be, you know, even be able to look upon us, or, you know, can't even look upon sin. But that is not the representation of God that Jesus showed him to be. You know, Jesus sat with people that no one else would sit with. He went out of his way to minister to women who were, you know, men weren't even allowed to, Jewish men weren't even allowed to speak to women. Yet he gave dignity to women. And this friendship with God is something that I know that God has been cultivating in my life for many, many, many years. I remember one time just feeling so hungry for God, just hungry for his presence, hungry for more. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying to me, you know, that hunger that you feel is not even human generated. Like, Shalise, that hunger that you're feeling for more of me is actually my grace expressing itself in your life, because it is the expression of how much I hunger for intimacy with you. I hunger. I paid the greatest price so that I could be the closest companion, the very best friend, the lover, the husband that I know that human beings need. And I became, you know, a human being so that I could relate to you and your humanity as an experience that I understand. I understand you completely. And I am not ashamed to call you friend. I'm not ashamed to call you my wife. I'm not ashamed of you at all. And you can trust me with your heart. You can trust me with anything. I'll never leave you. I'll never reject you. You are my beloved in whom I'm well pleased, not because of anything that you've done, just because you were my idea. And these words that God has spoken to me over the years have changed my life. They've changed my image of God. They have set me free from religion. They've set me free from myself. They have changed my life, and they've enabled me to walk through things that are extremely hard and painful, not only myself, but others. And they've empowered me to say the name of Jesus with confidence. Why? Because he's become real to me. It's not just a religious activity that I'm engaged in. And, you know, for many years, I mean, I really struggled with my mental health. I struggled with deep feelings of rejection and loneliness. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father have completely healed me of those things. Like, I know that I can never be rejected by the one who is the judge of everything. I know that I am fully accepted and fully loved unconditionally, not because I'm necessarily perfect or worthy, or it's not even anything that I could earn. It's just because of who God is. It's because of who Jesus is. And I loved this topic for this month because I felt like it was a personal invitation for us to really make it a priority to develop and cultivate and sit with God and take advantage of this intimate relationship that we have been invited into. And I wanted to share something that really cultivated hunger with me. I mean, I actually pulled it up on my phone this morning. It's a book that I read many years ago. And I can tell you, when I read this book, it changed my life because it cultivated jealousy. If I could say that, it cultivated jealousy for the relationship that somebody else had with the Holy Spirit. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that, you know, to covet spiritual gifts. And so there is such a thing as a holy jealousy. God has holy jealousy towards us. And I believe that holy jealousy for the kind of intimacy and the kind of power that we see in other believers' life is the Holy Spirit's invitation into the exact same kind of relationship with him. And so this book, I'll tell you, it was written by Benny Hinn. And I can tell you, I was not a Benny Hinn fan before I read this book. I had a lot of judgment about Benny Hinn. I grew up in the Bible Belt, and I had a lot of judgment about faith healers and all these things. I thought they were all, you know, shysters and shams. And so I was just not a fan. I'm just going to be honest. And obviously, since then, I've read this book. I don't have that same opinion anymore. But I got a hold of this book one time when I was on the mission field in India. And it was somebody had the book, and we were on a bus with a bunch of people that were on this trip. And I just borrowed the book for a moment, and I began reading the book, and I could not put it down. In fact, I was so enthralled with the book, the person was trying to get it back. And I was like, no, you cannot have it. Like, I'm addicted to this book. And it's called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And it's a book about Benny Hinn's awakening to the presence of the Holy Spirit and friendship with the Holy Spirit. And I just thought I would take some time to read this morning because God used it so powerfully in my life. I remember after reading this book, running into the streets of India and yelling at the top of my lungs, "Where is the God of Benny Hinn?" I was so hungry. I was so desperate for the power of God in my life and for the reality of God in my life. And I can tell you, God met me. The Holy Spirit has met me. Jesus has met me where I am. And I am not special I'm special and unique, of course, but I'm not any more special or any more unique than you. And guess what? Benny Hinn is not any more special or unique than I was. And so I just wanted to read this because I just believe it's a beautiful, and I wanted to, I don't know, I just wanted to spur that same kind of hunger and that same kind of intimacy, that desire for intimacy in you that is still burning in my heart after all of these years later. I mean, at this point, it's probably, I don't even know, 20 years later from when I read this book. But I'm just going to read a little bit of you guys to you guys this morning. It's going to be story time. So it says, it was 3 days before Christmas of 1973. The sun was still rising on that cold, misty Toronto morning. Suddenly he was there. The Holy Spirit entered my room. He was more real to me that morning as the book you are holding in your hand is to you. For the next 8 hours, I had an incredible experience with the Holy Spirit. It changed the course of my life. Tears of wonder and joy coursed down my cheeks as I opened the scriptures and he gave me the answers to my questions. It seemed that my room had been lifted into the hemisphere of heaven. All I wanted was to stay there forever. I had just turned 21, and this visitation was the best birthday or Christmas present I had ever received. Just down the hall were my mother and dad. They would never possibly understand what was happening to their Benny. In fact, if they had known what I was experiencing, it could have been the breaking point in a family that was already on the verge of shattering. For nearly 2 years since the day I gave my life to Jesus, there was virtually no communication between my parents and me. It was horrible. As the son of an immigrant family from Israel, I had humiliated my household by breaking tradition. Nothing else in my life had been this devastating. In my room, however, it was pure joy. Yes, it was unspeakable. Yes, it was full of glory. If you had told me just 48 hours earlier what was about to happen to me, I would have said no way. But from that very moment, the Holy Spirit became alive in my life. He was no longer a distant third person of the Trinity. He was real. He had a personality. And now I want to share him with you. My friend, if you are ready to begin a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit that surpasses anything you ever dreamed possible, read on. If not, let me recommend that you close the covers of this book forever. That's right, close the book, because what I'm about to share will transform your spiritual life. Suddenly, it will happen to you. It may be while you're reading, perhaps you're praying, or while you're driving to work, the Holy Spirit will respond to your invitation. He's going to become your closest friend, your guide, your comforter, your lifelong companion. And when you and he meet, you'll say, "Benny, let me tell you what the Spirit has been doing in my life." It says, God's power revealed. I'm just going to keep reading a little bit more. It says, a friend of mine, Jim Pointer, had asked me to go with him on a charter bus trip to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I had met Jim, a Free Methodist minister, at the church I attended. The group was going to a meeting of a healing evangelist, Catherine Coleman. To be honest, I knew very little about her ministry. I'd seen her on television and she totally turned me off. I thought she talked funny and looked a little strange, so I wasn't exactly filled with expectation. But Jim was my friend and I didn't want to let him down. On the bus, I said, "Jim, you'll never know what a tough time I had with my father about this trip. You see, after my conversion, my parents had done everything in their power to keep me from attending church. And now a trip to Pittsburgh, it was almost out of the question, but they grudgingly gave me their permission." We left for Toronto on a Thursday about mid-morning, and what should have been a 7-hour trip was slowed by a sudden snowstorm. We didn't arrive into our hotel until 1 o'clock in the morning. Then Jim said, "Benny, we have to be up at 5. 5 in the morning," I said, "what for?" He told me that if we weren't outside the doors of the building by 6 o'clock, we'd never get a seat. Well, I just couldn't believe it. Who'd ever heard of standing in the freezing cold before sunrise to go to church? But he said that was what we were supposed to do. It was bitter cold. At 5, I got up and put on every bit of clothing I could find. Boots, gloves, the works. I looked like an Eskimo. We arrived at the First Presbyterian Church in downtown Pittsburgh while it was still dark. But what shocked me was that hundreds of people were already there, and the doors wouldn't open for 2 more hours. Being small has some advantages. I began inching my way closer and closer to the doors and pulling Jim right behind me. There were even people sleeping on the front steps. A woman told me they'd been here all night. It's like this every week. As I stood there, I suddenly began to vibrate, as if someone had gripped my body and begun to shake it. I thought for a moment that the bitter air had gotten to me, but I was dressed warmly, and I didn't feel too cold. But an uncontrollable shaking just came over me. Nothing like that had ever happened before, and it didn't stop. I was too embarrassed to tell Jim, but I could feel my very bones rattling. I felt it in my knees, in my mouth. What is happening to me, I wondered. Is this the power of God? I just didn't understand. By this time, the doors were about to open and the crowd pressed forward until I could hardly move. Still, the vibrating wouldn't stop. Jim said, "Benny, when those doors open, run just as fast as you can." "Why?" I asked. "Well, if you don't, they'll run right over you." He had been there before and knew what to expect. Well, I never thought I'd be in a race going to church, but here I was. And when those doors opened, I took off like an Olympic sprinter. I passed everybody, old women, young men, all of them. In fact, I made it right to the front row and tried to sit down. An usher told me the front row was reserved. I learned later that Ms. Coleman's staff handpicked the people who sat in the front row. She was so sensitive to the Spirit that she wanted only positive praying supporters right in front of her. With my severe stuttering problem, I knew it'd be useless to argue with the usher. The second row was already filled, but Jim and I found a spot on row 3. It would be another hour before the service began, so I took off my coat, my gloves, and my boots. And as I relaxed, I realized I was shaking more than before. It just wouldn't stop. The vibrations were going through my arms and legs as if I was attached to some kind of machine. The experience was foreign to me, and to be honest, I was scared. As the organ played, all I could think about was the shaking in my body. It wasn't a sick feeling. It wasn't as if I was catching a cold or virus. In fact, the longer it continued, the more beautiful it became. It was an unusual sensation that didn't really seem physical at all. At that moment, almost out of nowhere, Catherine Coleman appeared. In an instant, the atmosphere in that building became charged. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't feel anything around me, no voices, no heavenly angels singing, nothing. All I knew is that I'd been shaking for 3 hours. Then as the singing began, I found myself doing something I never expected. I was on my feet, my hands were lifted, and tears streamed down my face as we sang, "How Great Thou Art." It was as if I had exploded. Never before had tears gushed from my eyes so quickly. Talk about ecstasy. It was a feeling of intense glory. I wasn't singing the way I normally sang in church. I sang with my entire being. And when it came to the words, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, I sang it from the depths of my soul. I was so lost in the spirit of that song that it took a few moments for me to realize that my shaking had completely stopped. But the atmosphere of that service continued. I thought I had been totally raptured. I was worshiping beyond anything I had ever experienced. It was like coming face to face with pure spiritual truth. Whether anyone else felt it or not, I did. In my young Christian experience, God had touched my life, but never as he was touching me that day. As I stood there continuing to worship the Lord, I opened my eyes to look around and suddenly I felt a draft and I didn't know where it was coming from. It was a gentle, slow breeze. As I looked at the stained glass windows, they were all closed and they were much too high to allow such a draft. The unusual breeze I felt, however, was more like a wave. I felt it go down one arm and up the other, and I actually felt it moving. What was happening? Could I ever have the courage to tell anyone what I felt? Would they think I'd lost my mind? For what seemed like minutes, the waves of that wind continued to wash over me, and then I felt as if someone had wrapped my body in a pure blanket, a blanket of warmth. Catherine began ministering to the people, but I was so lost in the spirit that it didn't really matter. The Lord was closer to me than he had ever been. I felt I needed to talk to the Lord, but all I could whisper was, "Dear Jesus, please have mercy on me." I said it again, "Jesus, please have mercy upon me." I felt so unworthy. I felt like Isaiah when he entered the presence of the Lord. "Woe is me, I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." This same thing happened when people saw Christ. They immediately saw their own filth, their need of cleansing. And that's what happened to me. It was as if a giant spotlight was beaming down on me and all I could see were my weaknesses, my faults, and my sins. And again, I said, "Dear Jesus, please have mercy on me." Then I heard a voice that I knew must be the Lord. It was ever so gentle, but it was unmistakable. He said to me, "My mercy is abundant on you." My prayer life to that point was that of a normal average Christian. But now I was not just talking to the Lord, he was talking to me. And oh, what communion that was. Little did I realize that what was happening to me in the third row of the First Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh was just a foretaste of what God had planned for the future. Those words rang out in my ears, "My mercy is abundant on you." I sat down crying and sobbing. There was just nothing in my life to compare with what I felt. I was so filled and transformed by the Spirit that nothing else mattered. I didn't care if a nuclear bomb hit Pittsburgh and the whole world blew up. At that moment, I felt, as the word describes it, peace, which surpasses all understanding. Jim had told me about the miracles that took place in Ms. Coleman's meetings, but I had no idea what I was about to witness in the next 3 hours. People who were deaf could suddenly hear. A woman got out of her wheelchair. There were testimonies of healings for tumors, arthritis, headaches, and more. Even her severest critics have acknowledged the genuine healings that took place in her meetings. The service was long, but it seemed like a fleeting moment. Never in my life had I been so moved and touched by God's power. As the service continued, I quietly prayed. Everything stopped suddenly, and I thought, "Please, Lord, don't ever let this meeting end." I looked up to see Catherine burying her head in her hands as she began to sob. She sobbed and sobbed so loudly that everything came to a standstill. The music stopped. The ushers froze in their positions. Everyone had their eyes on her. And for the life of me, I had no idea why she was sobbing. I'd never seen a minister do that before. What was she crying about? I was told later that she had never done anything like that before either. And the members of her staff remember it to this day. It continued for what seemed like 2 minutes. Then she thrust back her head. There she was, just a few feet in front of me. Her eyes were aflame. She was alive. And in that instant, she took on a boldness that I had never seen in any person. She pointed her finger straight out with enormous power and emotion, even pain. If the devil himself had been there, she would have flicked him aside with just a tap. It was a moment of incredible dimension. Still sobbing, she looked out at the audience and said with agony, "Please," she seemed to stretch out the word, "please don't grieve the Holy Spirit." She was begging, if you can imagine a mother pleading with a killer not to shoot her baby. It was like that. She begged and pleaded. "Please," she sobbed, "don't grieve the Holy Spirit." Even now I can see her eyes. It was as if they were looking straight at me. And when she said it, you could have dropped a pin and heard it. I was afraid to breathe. I didn't move a muscle. I was holding onto the pew in front of me, wondering what would happen next. And she said, "You don't understand. He's all I've got." I thought, what's she talking about? Then she continued with her impassioned plea, saying, "Please don't wound him. He's all I've got. Don't wound the one I love." I'll never forget those words. I can still remember the intensity of her breathing when she said them. In my church, the pastor talked about Holy Spirit, but not like this. His references had to do with the gifts or tongues or prophecy, not he's my closest, most personal, most intimate, most beloved friend. Catherine Coleman was telling me about a person that was more real than you or I. Then she pointed her long finger down at me and said with great clarity, he's more real than anything in this world. When she looked at me and uttered those words, something literally grabbed me on the inside. It really got to me and I cried and I said, I've got to have this. Now, frankly, I thought that everyone in the service would feel the same way, but God has a way of dealing with us as individuals, and I believe that service was just for me. Please understand, as a rather new Christian, I couldn't begin to comprehend what was happening in that service, but I could not deny the reality and the power that I felt. And as the service came to conclusion, I looked up at the woman evangelist and I saw what seemed to be a mist around her and over her. At first, I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me, but there it was, and her face was shining like a light through that mist. I don't for one moment believe that God was trying to glorify Miss Coleman, but I do believe he used that service to reveal his power to me. When the service was dismissed, the crowd filed out, but I didn't want to move. I had come in racing, but now I just wanted to sit down and reflect on what had just happened. What I had felt in that building was something my personal life just did not offer me. I knew that when I returned home, the persecution would continue. My own self-image was practically destroyed because of my speech impediment. Even when I was a child in Catholic schools, my stuttering left me isolated with almost no one to talk to. Even after I became a Christian, I made very few friends. How could I meet new people when I could hardly communicate? So I never wanted what I found in Pittsburgh to leave me. All I had in life was Jesus, and nothing else in life had much meaning. I had no real future. My family had practically turned their backs on me. Oh, I knew they loved me, but my decision to serve Christ had created a gulf that was exceedingly wide. I just sat there. After all, who wants to go to hell after they've been to heaven? But there was no choice. The bus was waiting and I had to go back. I paused at the back of the church for one last moment thinking, what did she mean? What was she saying when she talked about the Holy Spirit? All the way back to Toronto, I kept thinking, I don't know what she meant. I even asked a few people on the bus. They couldn't tell me because they didn't understand either. Needless to say, when I arrived home, I was totally exhausted. With what lack of sleep, hours on the road, and spiritual experience, it was like an emotional roller coaster. My body was just ready for a rest, but I couldn't sleep. My body was weary to the bone, but my spirit was stirring like a never-ending series of volcanoes erupting inside of me. And then he says this, who's pulling me? As I lay on the bed, I felt as if someone was pulling me off the mattress and onto my knees. It was a strange sensation, but I felt it so strongly I couldn't resist. There I was in the darkness of that room on my knees. God wasn't through with me yet, and I responded to his leading. I knew what I wanted to say, but I didn't quite know how to ask for it. What I wanted was what that minister in Pittsburgh had. And I thought, I want what Catherine Coleman's got. I wanted it with every atom and fiber within me. I hungered for what she was talking about, even though I didn't understand it. Yes, I knew what I wanted to say, but I didn't know how to say it. So I decided to ask the only way I knew, in my own simple words. I wanted to address the Holy Spirit, but I'd never done that before. I thought, am I doing this right? After all, I'd never spoken to the Holy Spirit. I never thought he was a person to be addressed. I didn't know how to start the prayer, but I knew what was inside of me. All I wanted was to know him in the way that she knew him. And here's what I prayed. Holy Spirit, Catherine Coleman says you are her friend. I slowly continued, I don't think I know you. Now, before today, I thought I did, but after that meeting, I realized I really don't. I don't think I know you. And then, like a child with my hands raised, I asked, can I meet you? Can I really, really meet you? I wondered, is what I'm saying right? Should I be speaking to the Holy Spirit like this? And then I thought, if I'm honest in this, God will show me whether I'm right or wrong. If Catherine was wrong, I wanted to find out. After I spoke to the Holy Spirit, nothing seemed to happen. I began to question myself. Is there really such an experience as meeting the Holy Spirit? Can it truly happen? My eyes were closed. Then, like a jolt of electricity, my body began to vibrate all over, exactly as it had through the 2 hours I waited to get in the church. It was the same shaking I'd felt for another hour once inside. It was back, and I thought, oh, it's happening again. But this time there were no crowds, no heavy clothes. I was just in my own warm room in my pajamas, vibrating from my head to my toes. I was afraid to open my eyes. this time it was as if everything that happened in that service all rolled into one moment. I was shaking, but at the same time, I again felt that warm blanket of God's power wrapped all around me. I felt as if I had been translated to heaven. Of course I wasn't, but I honestly don't believe heaven can be any greater than that. In fact, I thought, if I open my eyes, I'll either be in Pittsburgh or inside the pearly gates. Well, after a time, I did open my eyes, and to my surprise, I was right there in my same room, same floor, same pajamas, but I was tingling with the power of God's Spirit. When I finally dropped off to sleep that night, I still didn't realize what had begun in my life. And then it says, early, very early the next morning, I was wide awake, and I couldn't wait to talk to my newfound friend. Here were the first words out of my mouth: "Good morning, Holy Spirit." At that very moment I spoke those words, the glorious atmosphere returned to my room. This time, though, I wasn't vibrating or shaking. All I felt was wrapped in his presence. The second I said, "Good morning, Holy Spirit," I knew that he was present with me in the room. Not only was I filled with the Spirit that morning, I received a fresh infilling every time I spent time in prayer. What I'm talking about is beyond speaking in tongues. Yes, I did speak in a heavenly language, but it was much more than that. The Holy Spirit became real. He became my friend. He became my companion, my counselor. That first thing I did that morning was to open the Bible. I wanted to be sure. And as I opened the word, I knew he was there with me as if he was sitting down beside me. No, I didn't see his face or his countenance, but I knew he was there. And I began to know his personality. And I have just a little bit more, you guys. It says, and from that moment on, the Bible took on a whole new dimension. I would say, "Holy Spirit, show it to me in the word." I wanted to know why he had come and why he led me to the words. "We have not received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have freely been given to us by God." When I asked why he wanted to be my friend, he led me to the words of Paul: "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." 2 Corinthians 13:14. The Bible became alive. I had never really understood the impact of those words, "not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord," 4:6. Over and over again, he confirmed in the word what he was doing in my life. For more than 8 hours that first day, and then day after day, I grew to know him more. My prayer life began to change. Now I said, "Holy Spirit, since you know the Father so well, would you help me pray?" And when I began to pray, I came to the place where this Father was suddenly more real than he'd ever been before. It was as if someone had opened a door and said, "Here he is." So I know I took some time to read to you guys this morning in story time, and it's word of the month, but I just wanted to share the experience that Benny Hinn had all those many years ago in 1973. Because it was reading that experience all those years ago, over 20 years ago, that began my journey. It had already begun before then, but it was the first time that I really felt something imparted to me. And I ran outside and was yelling, "Where's the God of Benny Hinn?" And I can tell you that the Holy Spirit has continued to reveal God to me. Holy Spirit has revealed Holy Spirit to me, has revealed Jesus, has revealed the Father to me for years and years and years. And beloved, there is nothing more precious. There's nothing more powerful than cultivating friendship with God. And it's not hard. It's childlike. It's honest. It's vulnerable. It's the ability to just come as you are without pretense, without really, even if you're afraid, it's okay. But I just know that it's on the Father's heart, it's on Jesus's heart, and it's on Holy Spirit that God wants to be your very, very best friend. He wants you to recognize that you were never, never, ever alone, and that you are known, that you are seen, that you are understood, and that all the wisdom of God is available to you. Everything that the Father knows, Jesus will share it with us, and that we can have intimacy. We can have conversations with God. We can hear his voice. And gosh, life is busy. Gosh, there's a lot going on in our lives all the time. And it is so easy to get distracted. It is so easy to chug along in our life and let the problems and the things that are going in our lives just drown out the most precious gift that we've ever been given. But I just really, really felt the cry of the Father this month, the cry of the heart of God for greater levels of intimacy with us. and to know that He understands, that He knows every single thought in our head, every emotion that we have, every struggle that we have, every fear, every dream, every single thing we could ever desire to know, the Father knows. And He knows it intimately and personally for you. So I'm already at the end of my time, and I mostly read, but I really felt that this is an invitation for us to just come exactly the way the Holy Spirit, the way that the Holy Spirit revealed Himself to Benny to do, and to just come honestly. And that God has beautiful things that He wants to reveal to you. He has strengthening things that He wants to reveal to you. That no matter what you are going through, no matter what you are facing, there is a way of escape and a way through it. And there is a victory on the other side of it. But intimacy with God is the point. Knowing God is the definition of eternal life. And it's available to all of us. And so I just pray that each of you would have just an increase of hunger for God, hunger for intimacy, a hunger to know Him, and a hunger to know His voice, a hunger to know His character and how He feels about everything, so that no matter what you face, you will know that you are not alone and that your life can be filled with ecstasy and joy and bliss and the presence of God in the worst of circumstances, that you can have the peace that surpasses understanding because it's a person. Peace comes from a person. It's the presence of God. So I wanted to wrap up today with a little verse that I read in the Book of Wisdom, which is not a part of our, you know, Protestant Bible. It is a part of the Catholic Bible, but the Book of Wisdom, and it just says this. You can Google it. You can look in a non-Protestant Bible and find it, but it says this in Wisdom, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit, and it's in chapter 7, verse 27, and it says this. Although it personifies the Holy Spirit as a woman in this chapter, just the way it does in Proverbs. And it says this, although she is one, talking about the Holy Spirit, she can do all things. And she renews everything while herself perduring, passing into holy souls from age to age. I love this. This is what I wanted to get to. It says she produces friends of God and prophets. And beloved, I just think there's nothing better that we could ever be known as more than friends of God. And guess what? It is the Holy Spirit that also produces friends of God. And so the invitation for this month and the word of the month for this month, you guys, is, do you want to be best friends? Will you be my friend? Will you be my BFF? And I think it's just, it reminded me of those little notes that people used to pass in elementary school, you know, like, do you like me? Yes or no? Or will you be my friend? Or will you be my girlfriend or my boyfriend? Yes or no? And then, you know, would you put two little boxes on it? Yes or no? And I just feel like we have an invitation to check yes. Yes, we will be your friend. Yes, we will be your actual bride. Yes, we will be BFFs with you, God. So I just pray. I pray that this is igniting something in you the way that it did all those years ago for me, and is igniting something even stirring up in me again today, that there's always more. There's always more to know. There's always more to experience of God. There's more revelation. It's inexhaustible, and it's better than we've imagined, and it's available to us because God is always with us. He's closer than our breath. So God bless you guys, and I can't wait to see how the Holy Spirit shows up in your life, how Jesus and Papa come and reveal themselves to you. And I would love to hear it. You can always email us at info@shalise.com. You can post it in the group, but I would just love to hear. So God bless you guys. It's going to be an awesome October. We're going to walk this month in greater intimacy and greater revelation and just greater presence of God. I really believe that. And I just know that that is exactly why Jesus died, so that we could experience that. And it's because of that, that we will not quit and we will be unstoppable. And of course, signs and wonders will follow that. I mean, intimacy is how Jesus worked every single miracle. He saw what the Father was doing and He did it. He spoke the words that the Father spoke as though they were His own. And that came out of great, great intimacy with a God. It came out of His relationship, that unique Father-Son operation that He was walking in. And He promised that He would give us the same thing. He said He'd go over it line by line with us. And He said, for anybody that's willing to listen. So I don't know about you, but I'm ready to listen. Amen. All right. Well, you guys, I love you much, and I'll see you soon. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Shalise's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalice.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalice's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalice.com and watch Shalice's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.